Afternoon, you've got Living Writers on WCBN FM Ann Arbor. I'm T. Hetzel, and today I'm so happy to have at the table here with me in the studio so many poets. It's the annual Poetry Town Living Writers Show. I've been looking forward to it. Cam Finch has the founder and organizer of Poetry Town. Is here in the studio and has brought three fantastic poets with them and a mom. So we're going to introduce everyone here, starting with, and thanks to Reverend Andrew for engineering today. And Cam, thanks for also picking the songs for today, too. Did you want to say a word about the song we just heard?
Sure. Yeah, thanks so much for having us, team. Excited to kick off Poetry Month here at WCBN. It's a second annual WCBN interview. The first song was called Sweet Disposition. It's a cover of the Temper Trap song, but it's all instrumental. And I just thought Sweet Disposition is kind of how I would like people to feel when they experience poetry in public this month, so it felt appropriate as a first song.
Yeah, it's National Poetry Month.
Yes.
So it's so exciting to be here with you all to kick it off right, I think. So Haley, you're the furthest away from me here at the table. Haley Winkle, welcome.
Thank you.
Could you tell us a little bit about yourself as a poet and a human?
Absolutely. I'm Haley Winkle. I'm really happy to be here. Thank you so much, Cam, for having me and T as well. I've been in Ann Arbor for about 12 years now, and I went here for undergrad. I have my degree in creative writing. I like to say that I went to school to learn and not to find a job. It worked out, though, because I'm an editor at the local university press. Poetry has just always kind of been there for me. Even when I don't really need it around, it's just always there and I can always come back to it. And I know it'll always welcome me back.
When you don't need it? What do you mean? What do you mean, Haley?
I know. Sometimes, you know, I do all these different creative things. And so when I can't really write poetry, I reach for a different kind of creative expression, like baking or art or knitting lately. And so there's a whole lot that I can do. But it's poetry is just always there.
Oh, yes. I see a lot of smiles around the table. Our next poet is Kyung-hee Kim of Ypsilanti, I should say. And you're living here in Ann Arbor right now, Haley.
I'm in Ann
Arbor,
yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, Kyung-hee, thanks for being here today. Tell us a little about you as poet and human.
Thank you, T, and thank you, Cam. So, as a poet, I'm a kind of newish writer. I started writing about 5 years ago. And I think poetry is one of those art forms that just kind of stops you on your tracks and you have to take it in. And it's so different than other forms of literature that I've come across, novels or nonfiction or short stories. And so I have to say that I found poetry accidentally by reading it and then writing it. And I didn't even know that I was writing poetry until someone told me, this is a poem. Oh, really? So that's kind of how I came across it.
And what were you reading? Like, what made you start to read poetry? Because sometimes, I don't know, sometimes we read it in school and then sometimes it stops there sometimes until it finds you again. Somehow, how did you start reading it, reading the poems?
Yeah, again? So I started to read works of Ocean Vuong, who I deeply connect with in terms of immigrant experiences and growing up and feeling othered and not belong. And so that made me think of poetry in a whole different light in terms of it can be personal, because I've always thought poetry as you have to be so intelligent or you have to have a certain brain to understand and extract it. But I think it can be personal to everyone and all of us.
And then the personal can like connect to so many people across the world
yes.
as well. And so who was the person who told you, oh, you've written a poem? Was it Cam? Was it Cam, the one sitting here?
I mean, right? Poetry Town definitely inspired me in a huge way. Cam basically put a call out saying, if you are a writer, you're a poet, you know? And so to kind of have that freedom of a way to express yourself and for someone to tell you that you are a poet, it's a really big deal. It was actually a friend of mine that, you know, read a couple of my work and saying, this is a poem. And I didn't think so. I was merely expressing my thoughts just in shorthand and phrases and words and not in complete sentences per se. But I wasn't trying to follow certain writing style or format.
Mm. Oh, well, Kyung-hee, thanks for being here. Let's go to Ben. Ben Davis Beasley. Thanks for being here, Ben, with your mom, Kate. Tell us a little bit about yourself as a poet, as a human.
when I was little, like 6 years old, I really just liked writing about things and putting them together, writing about things that I think was right and putting them together and making them some sort of a poem. And then I take different things in life and turn it into a fantasy and make it a poem by now. And I really just feel like poems always can show what's really there.
Yeah, they can. Yeah. And Ben, you're 9 now, right? Mm-hmm. And so what were the poems that can really show what's there?
Sort of like A Sky, which I wrote now in 2026, and Lollipop, which I wrote a year ago. They show how one shows how it's true that like all those things about how, like, Hawk Circle and you try to die, but it also can show that you're feeling a great moment and you realize that something important's going to happen and you have to win that thing over.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I love that. Thanks, Ben. Thanks. Do you want to read your poem, the sky poem?
Sure. As I look up at the everlasting sky, the Hawk Circle, but I don't plan to die.
Thank you. Thanks. And so when did you write that? Like, were you just kind of like looking at the sky, or were you inside imagining, remembering back?
I was outside on the soccer field and I was kicking a ball up into the air, and the sky just looked like with bumpy rows of clouds. It looked very everlasting with the soccer ball silhouetted. And then I saw a hawk circling, and because I was at a soccer game, meaning don't plan to die, I was meaning, like, I won't lose this game.
Ah, yeah. And did it come out in your favor? Did your team?
No.
Oh man. But what I love in the poem, it kind of did, though, because the poem triumphs, right? Like, nice. Oh, Ben, I'm glad you're here. I'm glad all of you are here. And Cam, let's turn to you, because I can't forget Cam Finch, unforgettable. So Cam, you are the founder and of Poetry Town, and I just this year realized that if you jam the two words, like I've noticed that you do poetry town,
yes.
It's poetry town
yes.
instead of poetry town. Have I been mispronouncing it like this time? Like, what do you want the world to know about poetry town?
Oh, well, that's so funny. I people can say it however they want.
You're
I've noticed
kind.
Many different syllable emphasis
emphases. Some people say Poetry Town. Some people say Poetry Town. It's kind of like Taco Bell. Taco Bell. Yeah, you can say it however you want. It's just like Taco Bell. The Poetry Town, I guess in the name, is kind of born out and up from Tree Town, which is Ann Arbor, a kind of nickname from it, and now also expands to Ypsilanti and includes poems by people spread out far around Washington County. So includes people from Dexter, Saline, Whitmore Lake, all of the anywhere, Chelsea, anywhere around Washington. And then, of course, just shows that this area that we live in is actually thriving with poetry. A question that I often get is, where can I go to meet other poets or find poetry events? And just through this work, through Poetry Town, poetry is very much alive here.
Also, thanks to you, you're curating so many new events every month. It's not just for National Poetry Month for you, Cam Finch.
That's true.
All year long.
Yeah, that is true. And poetry is, I do feel very much as a poet walking through the world, which doesn't always mean that you're writing poems at all hours of the day. But I think it's more of an outlook. It's a mindset. It's a way of being present in the world, observing, as Ben said, just kind of showing what's really there. And I think a lot of people look to poetry, like Kyung Hee looks to poetry to see yourself. The kind of main event for Poetry Month, which is April, the main event is to put to kind of infuse public places with poems. And we put poems in windows around town. So you don't have to go indoor. You don't need to buy anything. You don't need to go inside. There's no gatekeeping. You can just exist in your day and take a poem with you. Maybe you didn't even expect to see a poem, and there it is. I think also about this time, April, where we have all these ephemeral flowers coming up, trillium and bloodroot and spring beauties, and those are ephemerals. They are there and then they're not, and these poems are also like that, you'll see them throughout your days in April and then May 1st gone. Not necessarily. There are some wonderful storefronts that have kept their poems up all year long, which is
Dawn
really
Treader cool. For one.
Yes.
Shout out to Africa.
Very cool. Yeah. And then we also do keep one of the main goals of Poetry Town is to make poems accessible. And so a way to do that is by putting it, in front of people in person, but then also having recordings of the poems that are up all year long, and also on online, on social media. We take pictures of all of the poems. So even if you are listening and living in California or Scotland right now, you can still follow along with Poetry Town.
Kim, could you describe what people might see in a window? And sure. Oh, and Ben, where is your poem, the one that we just heard? Where can people?
It's in the Westgate Library branch window.
Oh, that's great. Okay, so heading over to Westgate Library, you can see Ben's poem, and also, so what you'll see is.
Yeah.
Over to Cam.
Yes. So it's 11 by 17 inch size paper. So pretty significant. You should see it from across the street. You can see it there. And it'll have a kind of teal blue header that says Poetry Town. And if it's Ann Arbor, it will say Ann Arbor. If it's Ypsilanti, you'll see Ypsilanti on there. And then the big poem, the poem text with the title, the text, and then the person's name, and then in the bottom two corners, there are two QR codes. One of them is a map, so you can hold your phone over it and then see all of the stars of where all the locations are. And then, you know, you can follow it. You don't have to do it all in one day, but, you know, you have 30 days, so the time is ticking.
Is there a prize if someone does, Cam?
No.
Not yet. Maybe next year.
There's no prizes other
than...
The
poetry is the prize.
I think the poetry. The poetry was the prize all along.
Has the map always been part of it? And the recordings, yes. Was it part of the original idea in 2023?
Yes, yeah. Okay. Yeah, the recording is also available on a QR code, so you can hear the poems themselves come alive through the human voice, which I just think is such an amazing way to experience poetry. And sometimes it can even feel like a different poem when you hear it, when you read it without sound. It's like, oh, that's how it's read, you know, and just the way that people interpret the emotions of the poem and how that comes out through a body. And those recordings are available. You can even go back on our SoundCloud playlist. You can go back in time to the poems from 2023, 24, 25, and now 26 are in individual playlists.
What a wonderful project. What a valuable project.
Thank you. And
ongoing.
Yes.
We'll talk more about it. We'll take a short break. Today on Living Writers, here in the studio, we've got Haley Winkle, Kyung-hee Kim, Ben Davis Beasley, and his mom, Kate. We've got Cam Finch, myself, T. Hetzel, and we've got Reverend Andrew behind the glass. And a quick thanks to Jason Adam Voss for pulling today's song picks that you'll hear throughout the hour. We'll be back. Afternoon. If you're just tuning in, what a show. Today we've got Poetry Town here in the studio. I'm so lucky to have joining me Haley Winkle, Kyung-hee Kim, Ben Davis Beasley, Cam Finch from Poetry Town. It's the first day of April. It's the first day of National Poetry Month. Thank you so much for being here today because it just feels right. It feels really right. Before the break, Cam, you were talking about sort of like some of the origin story of Poetry Town and where we are now. Where are we going in the future, do you think, for Poetry Town?
Yeah, well, this year I'm always just so in awe that anybody submits to this and continues to. And I'm really thankful for all the poets, because T. Hetzel is also a poet. I always have to say that. Yeah. The three featured poets here were all part of the very first 2023 Poetry Town. So we've been able to read your poems for the last 4 years. And
Will you all submit next year too?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yes. Like keep going, right?
Cannot.
Right. Yes. Doesn't it feel that way? this is my second year. Mm-hmm. So now I feel like I'm in it for the long haul.
Exactly.
I'm definitely. So now I feel
everything
like, I can't catch up, right, with you all. But I don't know.
I'm really happy to hear that, because that is kind of the community that Poetry Town is that, you know, it feels very much like once you're in, you're in, you know, and not that it's not like a secret society club or anything, but that it is, it's just a growing gathering of poets and voices. And this year we have 224 poems on display.
Woo! Wow.
At 76 locations across Ipsy and Ann Arbor. And that's up from 159 poets last year. So I don't know how many.
That's amazing.
I don't know. 50 something more poems this year. And
is it manageable, Cam? Like, how do you do it? Because with it growing at that rate, that's a lot.
Yeah. Well,
I mean, it's great.
Yeah. No. I always say that March is my poetry month because it's me getting everything together and memorizing people's poems. I was just before the break, I was reciting some of Ben's poems back to them. Like, yes, this poem has just lived inside of me for years. Oh. Some ways that I really like to continue is to keep growing, especially locations in Ipsy. Right now we have 19 locations, and I can all, you know, the and continue in Ann Arbor, of course, too. And the, you know, the locations tend to be places that are small businesses, organizations, community hubs, like the transit center, libraries, just like havens of creativity and community. And so it really feels very reciprocal too, that, you know, they're giving their window space to art and local art, and in return Poetry Town is highlighting the good work that they do for our town as well. And, you know, one of the ways that the social media aspect works is that we take pictures of the poems and the window fronts. And so it's a way of giving light to both.
Yes, and thanking the folks for being part, visible part of the poetry community.
Yeah, and they're always so enthusiastic about it. And today, actually, I received some pictures today from the Depot Town Pet Supply Store where Kyung Hee's poem is.
Oh,
and
yes.
and there was a very cute cat underneath the poems that lives inside the store. And so,
and is a poetry lover.
Yes.
Actually, Kyung Hee, could we hear your poem? Because I think it's about birds.
Yes, it is.
Maybe the cat was like, I'm sensing there's a bird here.
By the way, Cam, I really appreciate the fact that because poetry lives in all of these businesses, there are certain businesses that I have gotten to know and know about because of Poetry Town. So it really feels like a sense of community. So thank you. So this poem is called Because You Can't Take the Song Out of a Bird. This poem was inspired by, there's a Chinese mythology called Jing Wei, and this poem was written for a project that I did with a local AAPI collaborative performance group called Island. And the myth behind this is the youngest daughter of an emperor, she was sailing in the Eastern Sea and she drowned. But her spirit lived on and came back as a bird, and her mission was to fill the ocean with twigs and pebbles so no one could experience that themselves. So ultimately, this is a poem about hope. Because you can't take the song out of a bird. What is a plea of a bird who sits on the perch and quivers? The wind hugging her to fly. Yet she sits in shiver, chin tucked, eyes narrowed, alert, feathers tight to her body, shrinking herself. What is the plea of a bird whose feet are tied? She dreams of lived things, unlived things, longings unknown to her. In the haziness of twilight, when desire and lie blend as one, she puffs her chest, opens her throat, and sings.
Thank you, Kyung-hee.
Thank you.
Do you have other bird poems too? Or is this I know you were working from the myth, but having that as birds as an image too?
I do have another one that I wrote, and this was based on an image that I see in my home. Outside of my house, I live in a bungalow, and there's a perfect place for a bird to build a nest, but it can't survive there for whatever reason. The nest always gets, tossed or something like that. And so I wrote a poem based on the fact that, when we do something, we don't know the fate of something, and we do it out of hope, out of desire, out of resiliency. But that's what keeps us going.
And I love how now you've said hope twice in a short span of time. That's what we need, and poems can give us that. And because hope is there, but there's some days where maybe we don't see it as clearly as others. And sometimes it's up in the sky, right, Ben? Somewhere and in the clouds. Kim, what was it like when you first saw Kyung-hee's poem when it came in?
Well, I've known Kyung-hee for a few years, and so I actually could hear it in her voice. I knew it was yours. And I think that there's something really special when you know, when you can hear the voice of a person coming through, the articulation of a person's experience coming through the written word.
And Kyung-hee, how did you know that this was the poem that you wanted to send into Poetry Town this year? Because, yeah.
I know. I think for me, it's a decision of what do I want people to experience, even if they're passing by. Because once you write it, it's out there and it's everyone else's but yours. It's still yours, but it's everyone else's as well. And so, again, I'm going to say that word hope again, but I just wanted people to experience a little bit of hope, even in the dark times, even in times where it's difficult.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. And what's your practice like? Are you writing poems regularly, or is it something that they come to you at different times? Do you have a notebook that you carry? Or
I do have a notebook in my bag always, just because I never know when I want to write down something. I wish I can sit here today and say I have a beautiful writing practice, but I don't. I used to, but I'm in a different season. But off chat, Cam was talking about how poetry is also a way of being and a way of living. And so I think in this season, I'm just trying to be, a poet who notices, who's present. So I don't write every day. I think it would feel good too, but I'm not quite there yet in this season. But I read poetry. I love listening voices of poems. But in terms of writing, I love to write in the morning.
Thanks. Okay, so that we just got to hear Kyung-hee Kim's poem, and it's at the the pet supply?
Yes.
At Depot Town. That's a great shop because they often have a bowl of water outside for the pups and treats, right?
Yes.
It's a good community place. And so now I will look for your poem. Let's take a short break, everybody, and then we'll come back for more Living Writers with Poet Tree Town. So excited that you all are here. Today in the studio, Haley Winkle, Kyung-hee Kim, Ben Davis Beasley, Cam Finch. We've got the Rev behind the glass. We've got Mom Kate here, and I'm T. Hetzel. We'll be back. Back, you've got Living Writers. I'm T. Hetzel, and today Poetry Town is here in the studio. We've got Ben Davis Beasley, Kyung-hee Kim, Haley Winkle, and Cam Finch here in the studio. We also have Kate. I don't want to leave out Ben's mom, Kate, here, who just told us a great, great fact. Do you want to? You could just say it into the mic, Kate. Yeah.
It is the 30th anniversary of National Poetry Month. It started in 1996, and somebody else here started in 1996.
Our next poet, who's going to be reading, actually. What a great segue, Kate. Thank you so much. You're a natural. So, Haley, where can we find your poem? This time around.
Absolutely. This year, you can find my poem at the Ann Arbor Art Center, which really aligns because it's kind of an ekphrasis poem, which means that it's a poem about artwork. And this one evokes the memory and the visuals of a really specific piece of art that I think a lot of us are really familiar with, whether we've studied it, been to Chicago, or seen Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Oh, that's wonderful. Mm-hmm. Of your 30 years, how long have you been writing poems? Were you like a wee poet writer?
I was kind of a wee novelist. I had a lot of ideas. And then somewhere around like my early teenage years, I read a book of poems that also taught you how to write in different forms of poetry. I forget what it was called and I forget who it was by, but it was really transformative for just like a random sick day. It just like picked this up and was like, I'm just going to write a bunch of poems today. I've never done this before. And then since then, I just haven't really looked back. I also owe a lot of it to some slam poetry classes that I took in high school, and the teacher who taught those classes became a really important just poet mentor to me. And so I owe him a lot as well. Yeah.
Was it Jeff Cass?
No, this was in Kalamazoo. This was Christopher Bulmer.
Oh, nice. Mm-hmm. Oh, nice. Mm-hmm. And I think you're a Wolverine, aren't you?
Yeah.
Because Kyung-hee, you are.
Yes.
And Cam, you are. And Ben, be careful. It might be in your future.
It's on his shirt. On their shirt.
Ben wants to go to Eastern Michigan University.
Yeah.
Oh, nice. Oh, nice. EMU. That's great. That's great. I can't think of their mascot right now. What is it, Ben? Eagle? Oh, great. See, you love like the hawks, the eagles, the birds. Okay. All right, Haley, but back to you. Let's hear your poem, if you don't mind.
Absolutely. This one is called Ghazal for Ganjat, and ghazal is a specific type of poem that has roots in the Arabic language. Ghazal for Ganjat. What did Surat know of a park in daytime? That the scene would never differ from canvas to life, nor from France to the States, only really the wardrobe. Fewer bustles, more tan lines visible. The mothers keep bringing their babies near me. Earlier, the toddler and pregnant mother reclined beside me on the pedestrian way. There's always a rounded path in the park, bathed in sunlight, disappearing behind trees, people lying down, reading, pets leashed, watching the skies. A bug tries to bite the rubber of my shoe. I try to make sense of vacation time.
Thanks, Haley. I love that last line. It's such a surprise somehow. Mm-hmm.
I also kind of owe a lot of I love a surprising line in poetry. And I also owe that to local poet Laura Kaziski, whose poetry also has a lot of those really wonderful surprises in it.
Yes. Oh, and thanks for mentioning Laura, mm-hmm. friend of the show. Yes. Hello, Laura, if you're out there listening.
Thank you.
And hello to all the local Ann Arbor poets out there. Are sending love out to you all, and keep on keeping on. So why did you choose this poem? I'll ask you the same question.
Sure.
to send in to Cam.
Absolutely. So last year I was between the poem that I submitted to Cam in the end and this one. And this one just stayed in my brain the entire year from last April to this April, or really last February to this February, if we're thinking about submission times. And I kept thinking, I think this one just needs to be out there. This also, it's got just that imagery that I think a lot of us are really familiar with. And so I thought it should be in the wild. And I'm really happy that it's at the Ann Arbor Art Center for the reasons that I said earlier, that it is about a piece of art as well.
Yes. And thinking about what you're saying, Haley, it reminds me of Kyung-ki, what you said about choosing a poem like to create an experience mm-hmm. for the passerby. Because mm-hmm. thinking about when you're making art, it's like it becomes its own thing out there. And it's only, I think, really art when there's someone there with it as well. Well, I mean, we could argue about that. Maybe I should like step that back a little bit, but art can exist on its own, T. But it's like some of the magic that happens is when you have that other person there, that other being that's being with the art itself, the poem.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And I love that you're talking about this Chicago painting as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's awesome. I think we're all somehow familiar with it in different ways. I also studied it in a class that I took at University of Michigan about, I think it was 19th century modern French art. And it was really cool to see it like outside of the context of Ferris Bueller, too. And also just think a lot about like how like all of these artists of this time really played off of one another as well. And I think that also says a lot about just art in general and poetry in general. We look a lot to the people that we read and the people who create, and we take little bits of that and make it into our own like mosaic of our art.
Do you often write in form? Because this was a guzzle.
Actually, no, I don't. This was a fun little challenge for me. I decided just one day, I think I wrote this while I was in Montreal on vacation, and I was at this park and sitting on a bench, and these things were happening. The bug did try to bite my shoe. There were many pregnant women around. It was baby season, I guess. And I decided, you know what? I'm not really doing anything today. I'm going to write a guzzle.
And when you were drafting it, like what was it fun?
It was, yeah. I always find forms like this really fun, like when there's not totally a specific rhyme scheme. And I also really like playing with form. I think that's really what it's there for.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. To play with it, play against it, find new things in it mm-hmm. that you might not have got to on mm-hmm. your own. Ben, do you write haikus?
I don't write haikus. I've read one, but not really.
But you like writing in shorter forms, it looks like, or shorter pieces.
Yeah.
Why do you think you, what about it? I don't know. Why do you think it comes to you like that?
It's really, I can pack a lot of like stuff into say one or two sentences. And if I tried to write a whole paragraph, it would be like, 5 different stories.
So you have to just take them apart so that they mm-hmm. can be their own islands. What do you think about titles, Ben? Are they hard for you or are they easy?
Usually forget titles. And then my mom's like, you have to write a title. And I was like, oh, I'm just going to take a word that's in here and put it on the title.
That's a good tip. Well, Ben, will you read another poem?
Because
you started us off.
Yeah. I'll probably read one of my longer ones. So it's longer. Lollipop.
And you want to say when you wrote it?
Oh, well, a year ago. A lollipop is like an adventure. The first lick is the start, bright and happy. Next, you get so deep in it like you can never come out. Then the crunch. It almost takes all of the joy, so there's a nibbit left. The next crunch and the adventure is over.
Thanks, Ben. Where was that one last year? Do you remember which spot, location?
I think it was at 826.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, the robot store. Yeah. Oh, that's cool. I think I read yours. That's why I was like, oh, it must have been on one of my routes. Because this year I'm determined to do the whole map. But last year I didn't. Cam, I don't be mad, but I didn't get to all of them. But this year
And
you made these maps that are also zines, like little zines, pocket-sized zines.
Yes.
I love zines.
Can you talk
and you do too. Well, yeah. As I know.
Obsessed. Yes. Cam, so when did you, like, because you also have the QR code that'll take folks to a screen map.
Yeah, but not everyone has phones. Not everyone wants to use a QR code.
Yeah.
And so I love tangible objects, and the zines are pocket size. They're just a mini zine, so it's just one page that's folded into little 8 pages. It's a checklist with all of the different locations, so you can track your progress seeing them all. And the concept of this poetry scavenger hunt actually came from a person who had one day posted on Instagram that they had seen, they had taken a picture of every single poem in one, and said, I think I found them all. It's like, I didn't know someone had the tenacity to do that.
Yes.
That's great. And so now this person is a Poetry Town poet for the last 3 years. But I was so inspired by it that I thought, oh, maybe other people will want to do that too. And, you know, it's so low pressure. You do not have to see them all, because remember, there are other ways of seeing them. But, it, you know, like Kyung-hee said, too, that an idea of this is to get people to different parts of town, to different locations that maybe they've never visited before. And I think a lot about how we use cities and space, and I'm always very aware that, oh, I'm taking the same walk I took yesterday and the day before, and, you know, this is a shout out to my dad, actually, but one of the best advices that he gave me was try to go down a different street every day. And some days I do that. Some days I can't quite do it.
Got to take the elephant path.
Yeah, but it's just, yeah. You know, see something, and, you know, something you see on that new street could be a poem inspiration. But yeah, the zine is just fun, and it's pocket size and paper, so yeah, just fun.
It's super. I love it. And Cam, you've got a couple of events coming up, that readings, and yeah, could you tell us a little bit about
sure.
that?
Sure. Yeah. So I guess it is Poetry Town. The you know, not every event that is happening related to poetry in the month of April is necessarily hosted by Poetry Town. And one of the things that on social media that I try to use that space for is to be a hub where people who want to find out what events are happening can know when it will be. So I repost things that other locations are putting on themselves, and I'm only helping to get the word out.
And you have so many followers.
I guess.
I think
so. I don't know how that happened.
Oh my gosh, you've got like a million followers, and Living Writers has like 5. I hope you all follow Living Writers, everyone.
No, but I want to, I guess, an event to shout out would be this Friday, we're having a community event at the Ipsy Farmers Marketplace on 16S Washington Street in Ipsy. And it's just like a kickoff event where there will be the zines you can pick up there. There will be food from Mama Pizza, beloved Mama Pizza. There will be some poetry prompts and activities that people can do that are family friendly. It's just like a meet and greet where poets can find poets, people who love poetry. You don't have to, you know, you can be a poetry appreciator and still be welcome there. And then anyone who's there who has a poem in Poetry Town this year is welcome to share their poetry out loud and get it in the room. So I don't know, it'll just be jubilant.
Yes. Oh, it sounds it. Oh, and so that's coming this Friday
from 6:30 to 9:30. There's so many events that are coming up, both posted by Poetry Town and, again, like by other locations. And if you want to keep track of them all, following at PoetryTown_A2 on Instagram or on Facebook will be a great place to just tap into those.
Yes, and there's so many. Okay, we'll take a short break and then we'll be back. Today on Living Writers, Cam Finch, who you just heard, the founder of Poetry Town, and Poetry Town poets Ben Davis Beasley, Kung Hee Kim, Haley Winkle, and me too, T. Hetzel. We'll be back.
Each step is moving, it's moving me up. Moving, it's moving me up. Every step is moving me up.
Time because we still have a quarter left with these wonderful Poetry Town poets. And then you've got sports up next, and there's lots of exciting sporty stuff happening in the Go Blue universe that we'll get to hear about too. But today it's Poetry Town on Living Writers. Haley Winkle, Kung Hee Kim, Ben Davis Beasley, Cam Finch, all here in the studio. And as you've all heard, if you've been listening along with us, thanks for being here. Thanks for listening. Cam Finch is the founder, the creator, the visionary of Poetry Town, and is the one that is sustaining it, along with like the energy of poets in town. But Cam, you are the focal point. And so thank you for creating this space, this movement. Mm-hmm. It feels like a movement to me. And I hope you still have time to write your own poems.
I do. Yeah, okay. I do. thanks. I feel more like a facilitator of this movement. But it really, it truly doesn't exist without the poems that are submitted by 200 plus people, as well as the storefronts and the printers. Colossus, a family-owned business, prints them, and Destination Ann Arbor, who gave us a nice sponsorship this year. So you know, it's just everyone comes together to make this happen, and that's really what it's about. It's a town. So
thanks, Cam. What poem do you have on the table
yeah.
right now? What do you think?
The poem that I'm reading today and that is on Literati's window this year is called On Behalf of the River. And I wrote it last year for a board meeting at the Ipsy Township, which was my very first time attending a board meeting and also reading poetry at it, which I didn't know was a thing you could do. and that was, it's a response to the data center proposals that are cropping up here in Ipsy, as well as in Saline, as well as all across the United States, and some of my concerns about it from an environmental perspective, from a environmental justice perspective, especially knowing that this data center proposal by U of M and the Los Alamos National Laboratory is proposed for West Willow neighborhood in Ypsilanti. And I've also been reading a lot about rivers and about the vitality of rivers and how the sacredness of rivers and how it's been known all over for millennia and especially in indigenous communities that when a river dies, people do too. And so I wrote this on behalf of the river. So here it is. You have a river inside you, your body 60% water. Your eyes gaze at me through a lens of water as I speak. This is a poem about water and about you. We gathered at North Hydro Park to discuss how to talk to you about water. We made a feast and we fed each other. The water we breathed out became home in someone else's body. We were held and loved by a green space, oxygen, sun, life. No generators, the blackbirds in our ears. We dipped our toes at the shore. A man caught a walleye, a robin caught a worm. A community caught a town on the brink of a critical choice. A river kept flowing, its body a channel to speak with the past. Its body a home to bugs, birds, unborn fish. I trace my finger across the map of Michigan, east along the Huron, from the banks of the park carving out its presence. I exist and will keep moving. Its flow asserts like this curve carving my own body in space. This body of water greeting the Great Lakes becomes a kidney filtering out human-made toxins. What a gift it is to be a decentralized river. You are made of water too, don't forget. Interdependent, global citizen, life map. In affiliation with us all. The Mississauga Anishinaabeg writer Leanne Bettesemoske Simpson says, water asks of us to think on a scale outside of the present moment and our own immediate needs. You could be a life giver too. Trace the Huron with your finger from North Hydro Park to Lake Erie, this kidney outside of you that is you when you turn on your tap. Are you getting thirsty yet for the data center's wastewater? I ask the fourth graders I teach if they know what pollution is. They say, yes, of course, it's forever plastics. It's in the air. It's in our water. They don't say it's in their bodies. It's in their bodies. Why don't we say it's in their bodies? Why don't we say their bodies are a dumping ground? Why don't we say that data centers that dump into rivers contribute to harming their bodies? Trace your finger down the map, down the Huron. At each juncture, every town the river touches, remember your mother. Warm within her, she who was your first lake. The fluid inside our bodies, our eyes, this water we live among, we touch, we drink, how it moves, we give this water downriver. It flows to others who mother, the mothered, the people, the birds. I want to witness you clearly with the water around us, within us, as you refuse to hand over this water, this land, to be poisoned by institutions clouded by short-sighted profits and war. We can exist without supercomputers, without circling our town in a nuclear bullseye. We cannot exist without this river, sacred, our watershed, lifeblood. Trace the Huron eastward. We are connected by this water, by the choices we make in this moment,
How long the river lives, it keeps going, our decisions, their consequences for generations, keeps going in the bodies of our children. And then your finger is submerged in Lake Erie's wide embrace. You become that water. Water would reject a business deal with death. Water says, I exist and will keep moving. Water is within you right now, creating the conditions for life, the present and the future, to emerge and continue. This poem is about you and us, about the water inside us all.
Thanks, Cam. Thanks. What was the reaction like at City Council?
Well, one of them cried. And people still come up to me talking to me about this poem. I'm kind of astonished. I almost didn't read it because I was like, maybe this is a weird thing to do. It was the best way for me to express my concerns. And it was so different from some, the other community members who were there, who are part of like the Stop the Data Center movement. Who all were just so amazingly articulate and angry and worried. And this was my way of contributing to that, resistance.
Yes.
Yeah, so,
yes.
Leanne Simpson, who is the musician of the last song for this set. her book, Theory of Water, I was reading it while I was writing this poem, and so I feel so influenced, as the way Haley said that, the books and the art that histories that we consume and that we absorb, they come out again in with our own words into the current moment,
The memories are in our bodies.
Yes. And in our water.
And in our water, yes. I'm so glad. I think that's inspirational. Folks can think about, maybe I'll read a poem at the city council meeting or local government. It's so important to be present, stand up. And and poets are activists. By writing a poem, I feel like you're an activist.
Yeah, there's this year, as you walk around, there are a lot of poems about ice and salt, and a lot of poems about birds, and which you got to speak up for the birds as well.
Yep. But, that's a good balance.
I think so.
Yeah. folks, I've loved every moment here with you all today. I wish we had more time, but we do have to give the studio to the sports next. And but maybe if each person would like to say a note of something about poetry, and that would be great. Haley, do you mind going first?
Absolutely. Yeah. I really love just the act of reading poetry in spaces where it's maybe not expected to be. And so I think it's really important to just remember that poetry is really everything and poetry is everywhere. And I think that especially as you walk around this month, this is a really good way to just understand that.
Thank you, Haley Winkle. Kyunghee Kim.
I mean, this is going to sound so simple, but I believe it with my whole heart when I say poetry brings people together. Case in point of when you shared your poem at the city council, and it makes people think, curious, wonder, rethink what they were thinking, and just brings us together. So I'm grateful.
Thank you, Kyunghee. Thank you. Ben Davis Beasley.
I really, really like and want to write poetry about fun and silly stuff, but I usually write about the opposite of it, like hard times, but like really deep, and it feels like poetry is really meaning about anything, about how you're feeling or how others are feeling.
Thanks, Ben. Thanks. Cam, how about you, Poetry Town founder? Cam Finch.
I'm just going to reiterate that I think anything that is done with a intention and attention is a poem, whether it's planting something, listening to somebody, making a meal for somebody, yelling, making art, making music. Yeah, I think writing it down too, definitely a poem.
Thanks, Poetry Town. I'm T. Hetzel. You've been listening to Living Writers. Thanks, Mom, for listening, and all you out there listening. Until next time. Okay, folks.
Everyone, it is time for the Daily Sports Report here at WCBN FN Ann Arbor. I'm your host, Andrew. I'm joined by Caleb today. We might be joined by another Paul. He will be coming in hot during the middle of this show. But, you know, we have a lot of basketball to talk. Of course, we have the great Michigan Wolverines leaving for their trip to the Final Four. We also have the end of the regular season of the NBA starting to wind down. One of the hottest MVP races in my lifetime, with really four, you can argue five, NBA guys right now who can all have a great case for the MVP, the Rookie of the Year. I'm starting to see a little bit of contest. I saw Sixth Man of the Year, Keldon Johnson. He's starting to get some love for that award, too. There's a lot of stuff going on. So let's start off, though, with Caleb. How are you doing today?
This Wednesday night?
Yeah, I'm doing pretty good, too. I had a test today, a midterm, that seemed to be